This is, of course, Shabbat Nahamu. Based on the first two words of the Haftarah, Nahamu, Nahamu, Ami. That's the Shabbat of consolation. We understand what we need consolation from. The consolation is from the Hurban. Now we've had last 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks of Yemei Bin HaMitzarim, which are weeks that we commemorate the destruction of Yerushalayim, the Hurban Beit HaMikdash, Mitat Tzadikim. So therefore we understand that a consolation is in order. So the Navi comes along and says, Nahamu, Nahamu, Ammi. In the keynote, in Tisha B'Av, we begin with the Mizmor of Al Naharot Babel. In Al Naharot Babel, we say that we sat by the rivers of Babel. Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu. So we sat over there and we also cried. What is the Gam Bachinu? Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu. Say, Al Narod Babel. Sham, I don't know what Yashavnu means. We were sitting, or we were standing, or we were leaning against the wall. What were we doing in Babel exactly? It says we were sitting. Sham Yashavnu. We were sitting in Babel. Gam Bachinu. Just say, Al Narod Babel. I don't care if we were sitting or not sitting. Just say, Al Narod Babel, Bachinu. Bezuchrenu etzion. Al Arabim betocha, talinu kenorotenu. There's Arabim. What's Arabim? We put our violins on the Arabs. We gave the Arabs to play the violin for us, like we do today. Adarabim betuchat talinu kinorotin to the Hafnawi, and Kalsum's violinist. No, Arabim doesn't mean Arabs. Arabim is Aravot, on the willow tree. We couldn't play the violin in Galut. So we took our violins and we put them on the tree. We said, let's finish, we can't. That's a way of saying we put the violin back in the case and we said we can't play the violin. But what do you mean, Al Arabim betochat el kotor? What do you have to just say? We put the violin in the case. I guarantee you they didn't go to the tree and put the violin on the tree. So what does it mean? Al Arabim betochat talinu kenorotenu. Kisham, over there in Babel, she'elunu shovenu. Our captives, the ones that took us into captivity, the goyim, the vreshir, they said, please sing for us. They said, shiru l'adonai meshir Sion. Give us a song from Sion. The goyim are telling us this. Kisham she'elunu shovenu. Who's the shovenu? Elu she'shavu otanu. Our captives, the ones that took us into captivity, they told us, shiru l'adonai meshir Sion, sing a song for us. And what did we tell them? We said, Ech nashir et shir adonai al admat nechar. How could we sing a song? How do you expect us to sing a song? And I'm asking a simple question. What they kept the ones that put us our captors are telling us to sing? What are they, crazy? How can we sing? Cheated. Imagine if in Auschwitz the Germans come along and say, Shiru l'adonai meshir Sion. What Shiru? There's a type of singing. So we come along and answer them back. The answer was correct. How can we sing? But what does he mean? What do they expect us? They expect us we're going to sing a song for them? We were just taken into captivity. We're in the galut. We're suffering. And they expect us to sing a song. So the explanation, they say, is like this. The real perush of this mizmor, al pi ha, I guess, derash it is. Everybody just came out of the Yemei Ben HaMitzadim, and they tell us that you know, we've been in Galut for 1949 years, and the Galut is rough, and it's serious stuff. And we read about Spain, and we read about Europe, and we read about you know, all the stories of the tzaddikim that gave their lives in the old country in Aleppo on Leil Tshe'a B'Av, after they would finish the Slah, the old timers would go sit in the corner and read the story of Hannah. They would read it in Arabic. You know the Hazan we have in Shaare Siyon, David Chidro, his father used to go in the corner with the other guys there, and he used to read. His grandfather, named after him, David's grandfather, used to go sit and read the story of Hannah. And he used to cry, because it's a very emotional story. How Hannah gave up her 7 children, and the Goyim, you know, killed one at a time, etc. And she jumped off the roof. Your father used to read it also. That's how the Kim used to read it. That's the custom in Halab. You come to a Jew now in America, 2017, and you tell him it's terrible, galut, suffering. They don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
All the suffering is in the mahzor, in the keynote. There's no suffering here in America. It's the golden exile. One of the rabbis was in Miami Beach, the Satmar Rebbe, and he was having a lemonade underneath a palm tree. So he's sipping the lemonade, he turns to his students, he says, Raboisai, we're in Galut. This is Galut. Then he says, but if you have to be in Galut, this is where to be. In Miami Beach, under a palm tree, just sipping a lemonade. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. So it's hard to explain to Jews of America Galut and the suffering of Galut and the Goyim and anti-Semitism. Today, if a guy says one word against a Jew, they call it a hate crime, they put him away in jail. In those days, hate wasn't a crime, hate was a mitzvah. They put the Jew in jail. The one who was hated was put in jail. The guy who hated was a tzaddik. Today, it's the opposite. You have all sorts of freedoms and you have all sorts of rights and stuff. The Jews are very, very comfortable. There was one time a maid, and she saw the Jewish people on Leil Pesach, and they're saying in Leil Seder that Hashata Hacha. Now we're over here. Hashata Hacha Abde. Shana Ba. So the maid said, what are you reading in this pater? So they said, oh, we're reading over here, Ashata Acha Abdeh, over here in Galut, we're Abadim. Inshallah, next year we'll go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll be Bnei Horin. So the maid looks, each one's wearing $1,000 suit. They're not sitting at home for Pesach, they went to $100,000 trip. They're sitting over here with the finest china. They're sitting over here like Bnei Melachim. Each one's wearing more jewelry than the next one. Everybody's sitting there with all their children proper. So the maid says, what? Ashatacha abdeh? So the maid turned to God and said, Borei Olam, please, I want to be an Eved. This is an Eved. Please, I wasn't even looking to be an Eved yet. This is what Avdut is for the Jewish guy. The Jewish guy sitting in the lap of luxury, and he says, Ashatacha abdeh, suffering. What suffering? Who knows suffering in this generation? So it's hard to come along and then go tell American Jews, the galut. Galut's rough. What's rough about galut? The contrary, especially if you live in America, really it's I said last week, you have, more than a minyan of senators. There's only 100 senators. You have more than a minyan of Jewish senators. It's a big thing. Could be you could have minyan rishon, minyan sheni, you have two minyanim. And in the House of Representatives, you have already, a nice representation of Jews. So the Jews are in the government, Jews are in the Supreme Court. You have Ginsburg, it's only one of nine. There's only nine Supreme Court justices out of 350 million people. Nine. Probably on every court since it started, there was a Jew. Some of them even were the Supreme Court justices. So the Jews are on the top, it's not like Germany where we have to hide and all that. They're in the highest places. Now, today you have Jews running around the White House today. Every Monday and Thursday is another Jewish guy, a Chabad guy running around the White House, doing stuff, advisors, all that. Today it's all... So I go tell somebody in this exile over here, Galut. Why what Galut? What Galut? What do we have to worry about Galut? So they come to their shuls. The shul's $18 million building. They sit on a new rug that comes from the fanciest hotel. And they're sitting on the floor with the AC blasting on them. And they're saying, Galut. 1900 years in about time. 1900 years. And the ocean's right over here. They look at someone, look at the ocean for a minute. The galut. Oh. Who are we kidding? What galut? What anything over here? And then everybody can't wait till Shabbat's over, because everybody has tickets to go to Mykonos, to Galut Yavan. He goes from one galut to another galut. From Galut Edom to Galut Yavan. On the way home, he stops in Rome, Galut Rome. He hits all the Galuyot. It's all the Galuyot in one trip. Four Galuyot in one trip. Finish. Oh, stop. So we love it. We travel to the Galuyot. The Jews know they're running from Galut. They were running into the Galut. There's nothing. And everything is kosher. The guy called the Chabad guy in Mykonos. Don't worry. Baruch Abba. I'll have a whole seudah for you over there waiting for you. No problem. If you're interested. Some people are not interested. So that's the question. What's this whole... What do you tell guys like us that Baruch Hashem, are really not lacking? We go from one house to another house, to a different house. Guy goes from Brooklyn house, goes to his Deal house, then he goes to his Florida house. But then he has to have an apartment in the city, because where's he going to go for those, for those three Shabbats? He's going to have an apartment in the city. So he goes from there. I don't mind. I sell beds. I'm happy. Buy as many. They tell me, what do you think about all these people buying apartments in the city? I love it. They should buy apartments also all over the world. For me, it's great. I don't have a problem with it. I'm biased already. Every apartment that's sold is more beds. It's more business. So I cannot have a problem with it. Other rabbis say, go buy it. Some other rabbis might have a problem, but they're not in the business. So they have a different opinion than I do. But the point is, we're living in a very, very comfortable galut. Hashatacha abdeh. What's abdeh? And we're praying to God. So the way we explained it is as follows. If we have to explain it, we explain it like this. The Galuyot have two faces, as we know. Galuyot have two faces. Atzileni na miyad achi miyad esav. You know, sometimes the face of Galut is the brutal, ugly face of Esav. That's Hitler's face. That's Mussolini's face. That's all the dictators, you know, in Tahvetat. Esav, the bloody, violent Esav. We've had that Galut for thousands of years throughout our... King Ferdinand, ugly Esav. And one day, boom, the expulsion of all the Jews of Spain, 1492, Chabiav. We know that Galut already. Then you have a different type of Galut where Esav comes as a brother. Ahi! The brother's face is a different face. It's a more tolerant face. It's a more accepting face. It's a face of brotherly love, like Napoleon. Napoleon said, liberté, égalité, fraternité. I don't speak French, but I will give you the interpretation. His French is better than mine. Liberté, liberty. Égalité, egalitarian is also a type of equality. And fraternité is brotherhood. Fraternity. That's what he said. Brotherhood. Napoleon came with the face of a brother. He gave the Jewish people all sorts of rights and freedoms. He opened the doors of the ghetto. The Jews could go around over there. It's a form of galut, however. Although it's a sweet galut, but it's a form of galut. What's the galut? What's the galut? To us, galut means physical suffering. But there's also another type of galut, which is a spiritual oppression. Exactly the point. A lot of the rabbis in Europe were praying for Napoleon's demise. They felt that it's better to live under the strict rule of the Tsar than Napoleon, because they felt, you know, in the Tsar's rule, you looked at the goy and you said, Shelo asani goy. You didn't want to be like the goy. The goy was a bumpkin. The goy was ma'us. Somebody would come along and say, your daughter's going to marry a goya. It was ma'us. They said, that's good. In Napoleon's time, everybody's together. Then becomes a status. Oh, there's a non-Jewish girlfriend, non-Jewish boyfriend. Then become accepted. So they were worried about that, that phenomenon, that the freedom is going to cause the Jewish people to assimilate. That's another form of galut. I've told you many times what Franz Joseph said to his uncle, the Tsar of Russia. Franz Joseph was the premier of Austria. Franz Joseph was a tolerant guy to the Jewish people. The Tsar of Russia was, that's a classic case. Miyad Ahi, Miyad Esav. Franz Joseph is Ahi and the Tsar of Russia is Esav. Anyway, the Tsar sends a letter to his nephew, my dear nephew. Why are you so nice to the Jewish people? Wouldn't it be more prudent for you to persecute them and torture them like I do in my domain? Franz Joseph sends back, my dear uncle, Tsar of Russia, you kill your Jews your way, I'll kill them my way. Which means, don't tell me my business, I know my business with the two. You're killing them physically, I'm killing them spiritually. We're doing the same thing, I have a different derech. Which means Franz Joseph is saying, I'm loving them to death. I'm not loving them. It's a kiss of death. It's not a kiss of friendship. It's a love that eventually will kill them. So that's the other face. And that happens in different galuyot. The galut that we're living now in America, we hear for about, I guess, 1776, 1876, 1976. 251 years? 241 years? You're right. When we got the... you're right. The Jews were here from the 1600s in Rhode Island in synagogue. So the Jews are here for 200-300 years. Galut, unbelievable galut. But the assimilation rate is incredible. You're right, Jews have houses, Jews have cars, Jews have maids, Jews have education, Jews have professions. And Jews also have non-Jewish wives, and Jews also have non-Jewish friends as this is part of galut is. So therefore, in the post-Holocaust era, Haman and Hitler are the same. That's Esav. Hitler wasn't interested in assimilating Jews. Hitler wanted to kill Jews. He didn't care about assimilation. But the galut of America is a different type of galut. So you say, oh, it's a great galut. What's great about it? The assimilation rate is, if you're being modest, you'll say the assimilation rate is 50%. If you're being honest, you'll say it's more like 90%. It was 9 out of 10 marriages, it's intermarriage. Again, outside of a few zip codes, 11223, 11230, 07723, a few zip codes in America that are exempt from this statistic, but everywhere else, including go to other Jewish communities, go to Los Angeles, for example, L.A., Persian community, Hashuv. Assimilation is rampant. You go to a wedding, forget about assimilation. You go to a wedding, you have to ask, is the food kosher? I mean, a wedding, there's Jewish people here. You have to ask if the food's kosher, because you get non-Jewish caterers. If it's so rampant, the level of assimilation and no regard to the law. So even in a Jewish wedding, a Jew marries a Jew. And there's crab, and there's lobster, and there's all shellfish, whatever they're serving. You go, what is this over here? This is what we do. It's a wedding. It's a Jewish wedding. So what? Jewish wedding. Happened to be they married Jewish. You know, that wasn't, we're not makpid against Jewish. You know, we accept Jews also. But it's not, the food doesn't change. The menu doesn't change whether who you marry. So that's Jewish style, kosher style. Yeah. What's kosher style? They put a few pieces of gefilte fish on the table. It's kosher style. Cat's delicatessen. Hazak baruch. Hazak baruch. That's the exit. I was in. I go to Arizona from time to time. I like to go to Arizona. No, to Tucson. There's no Jews over there. Tucson is like Florida for the Jews. All the Jews go to Florida for the winter. The Goyim, they can't go to Florida. There's no Jews over there. So where they found the spot, where do the Goyim go? They go to Tucson, Arizona. Nobody bothers them over there. Leave me alone. I'm over there. It's nice weather. So you got to go over there. So nobody knows you. Nobody sees you. Nobody gets involved with you. Goyim don't bother you as well. So I'm there in Tucson. So they put the paper by the hotel. I read the paper. Baruch Dayan Emet, Mrs. Greenberg passed away. Resident of Tucson for 300 years she's living there. She's Og Melech HaBashan's grandmother. I don't know, she's living there for 300 years. She's living there. So they say her daughter Fanny Greenberg will be observing the... not the wake, but observing the mourning process. There's hope. Yeah, you Jews in Tucson are still mourning their beloved ones. Funeral, 10 a.m. at the chapel over there, followed by breakfast at the delicatessen on such a road. We're going to observe. That's the Avilut. They go to a deli. They go to a kosher deli. They order pastrami sandwiches for everybody. And they tell Mrs. Goldberg, sorry about your mother. Have a pickle, please, have a pickle. I'm looking at this, is this a series over here? That's what becomes the galut over here. This galut, you don't even know what avilut is anymore. Forget about the conservative and the reform temples. Today, if you go into a conservative and reform temple, most of the people there are not even Jewish. Because everybody intermarried and everybody's not. So they're sitting over there with a skull cap on and You know, you have the lady rabbi, the rabbit, and she's preaching whatever she's reading. Well, Goyim is sitting in the pews over there. So this is something that our galut does have. They might not have had that in other galuyot. You might have had Jewish blood in the street. Here, there's no Jewish blood in the street, but Jewish neshamot in the street.
I heard ladies say kaddish.
You heard ladies say that should be the biggest of the problems. Be the biggest of the problems. I was once in Pennsylvania, the Berkshires. Where's the Berkshires? Massachusetts.
Berkshire.
I went with Sergeant to the Berkshires. I'm looking for Minyan. There's nothing to do over there. Just the mountains and stuff. The Blue Mountains. I said Massachusetts. They have the Norman Rockwell Museum. You go there in Stockbridge. You see the paintings of Norman Rockwell. Okay, that's 3 minutes. Now what? Now it's 9:03. Okay, we did it. Now 9:03. Now we do it. It's it's just one of those places you just go to unwind over there. Anyway, I want to pray. I have to pray with a minyan. I tell Sandra, find me a minyan. Oh, there's a minyan in the Berkshires in this place over there. You go. Beauty. I walk in there. I see a guy with a yarmulke on. Where's the mincha? Mincha in that room over there. We're starting in 10 minutes. Beautiful. I can't believe it. In the middle of nowhere, we have a minyan. I sit down over there. I'm reading Patach Aliyah and Nevi Zechula Tov. I'm reading for the Ketoret. These guys are not going to say Ketoret because they're Ashkenazim. I do the Ketoret, I'm up to Ashkenazim. As I'm saying the Ketoret, the Minyan is filing in. I'm sitting over here, so I'm looking at where Sandra is. Sandra's like standing in a certain area. I can see Sandra. Sandra's telling me, come on, come. Pray, come on. Let me pray. I mean, then we came in for the whole thing. I'm praying. You're going to interrupt me? So I put my head down again. She calls me. I look at the phone. Come out now. What could have happened in 3 minutes? I walk out. She says, "Are you out of your mind? You look around you. What you're doing over here? There's 15 ladies wearing talit." I'm sitting there. I'm reading the Kavanot of the Rashash. There's 15 ladies wearing talit. I didn't even see it. She told me, "Get out of here. What over here? Pray with these. What happened? What happened to this minyan over here? Fell apart. Then where's the guy? Where's the guy? The guy's also sitting there. He's also a guy sitting there. What kind of minyan is this? No, we're egalitarian. We're open. We do everything. Okay. Is there a minyan of Orthodox? No, there's no minyan of Orthodox. This is what goes on in America. So even the people that are praying minha, confusion. So therefore, you have over here a situation where because of the length of the galut, the length of the galut causes us to forget our traditions. You understand? The length of it. Now, it's happening in our community to a certain degree as well. I want you to know that. That's what happens. You stay in America for too long, you start giving up your traditions. Look at the American generation. The American generation, they're not too interested in the Safed, the Minhagim, all that stuff is... interested in American stuff. Who knows the minhagim of the old country anymore? Only the newcomers. You needed people to come from Halab and from those countries to remind us, this is what we did. The Americans forgot all of it. They don't know what Arayat is. They don't know what Bakeshot is. They don't know anything. To them, what's Shabbat, having a mazah on Friday afternoon, making a party, everything is in the nafuchu, everything is upside down. All the traditions that they had in the old country, as you come to America, you become Americanized. And you lose it. And you start drifting. And Bar Minan, if you keep on drifting and drifting, you lose it. God saved us in this community. He brought the immigrants from Halab to give us another 30 years at least. They just extended our existence for 30 years. I don't know what's going to be after 30 years, because once they get corrupted, like we got corrupted. We think that could happen to them, because they're from Allah. They're going to get, we also went from Allah. We got corrupted. No, because but if you come after 1980, nothing's going to happen to you. It's the same formula. It's the same formula. No, because I came in 1981, nothing's going to happen to me. Well, I came in 1914. No, 1914, yeah, you came before the time. That's going to get killed. It's the same formula. So these guys gave us another 30 years of tradition to Zechir, Lechurban, all that. But after a while, what is the tradition of the Syrians? Like one rabbi writes in his daily halakha, in his daily fas, he writes that the minhag of the Syrians, they have many institutions. Bikur Holim, that Magen David, they have this, that. And one of the proud institutions of the Syrian community is they ride bicycles on Shabbat. And they go play ball after shul. That became an institution? It's not the NBA over here. What institution is this over here exactly? What institution is playing ball on Shabbat? You want to play ball on Shabbat? Good luck to you. I'm not standing on top of the synagogue screaming, hey! But I'm also not coming along and saying that this is a minhag and this institution and it's our way and how beautiful it is. People come together to pray and they go play sports and there's camaraderie and there's sweat and there's everything. What are you talking about? So that's what happens. When you stay in America too long, all of a sudden these type of babies become, that's the minhag. That's our minhag. That's our minhag. So we turned the minhag of America into our minhag. Shomu shamayim al zeh. Of course, I came along in my own daily halakha and I tried to set the record straight. And he came back and he said, oh, these guys here, they're saying that whoever prays ball is going to go to HELL. And whoever prays ball, you see that? Those are the type of rabbis. But look at me, I say it's an institution. Anyway, this becomes the minhag of Galut. Over the course of time, we start to drift and lose our tradition. Because the Galut's so long, so we forget how to behave. We forget how to behave. On Sukkot, Sukkot's right around the corner, Rabotai. So we have the four species on Sukkot. Now, Baruch Hashem, our community, when it comes to assimilation, we're a little protected more than other communities, but there's degrees of assimilation. Marrying out is the worst degree, that's the last degree, but there's many steps before that. Adultery doesn't begin in the bedroom. There's 32 steps before it gets to the bedroom. The same thing with assimilation. Assimilation starts, okay, I see goyari at the kodesh of me. It begins with the breakdown of the separations. Then all of a sudden, before you know it, boom. That's the galut. America strips the... And as they're doing it, they're smiling, so you don't even realize it. In Hitler's case, you knew it was a problem because he came with the Zyklon gas. You knew it was bad. Here the guy's coming smiling, Baruch Abba, and behind you he's killing you. It's the brother, so you don't even realize it. It's a odorless gas. You don't even realize what's happening. And it's happening to everybody, by the way. It's happening to everybody. A simple example. In the simple example, when we were young in the yeshiva, they told us, Yom Rishon, Avodah, Yom Sheni, Avodah, Yom Shlishi, Avodah, the 6 days of work. You remember that song, Gabe? Maybe you taught it to me, I think. Maybe you taught it to me. So what happened? 6 days a week. Came into Galut, that's 5 days a week. Sunday, we put an X on. But what's Sunday? Sunday's X. Weekend. Weekend is Shabbat, Sunday, 2 days. Where's that from? That's from Galut. You take most people, what is Sunday? Sunday is a different day. They put on their pajamas, special sweatsuit. They come to shul in their pajamas. And they sit in the shul over there, and they go eat a bagel. They go watch 3 football games. The 1 o'clock game, the 4 o'clock game. Then you have the Ibarim and the Peradim that all night, that's the night game. You have all the That wasn't the tradition in the olden days. Sunday was a regular day. You went to work, you learned Torah. What is it, Sunday? The old country, Sunday, what they do? They went to work. No, in Halab on Sunday, they had a 9:30 minyan. What are we talking about? Sunday, the same thing, 5:45 a.m. Everybody came to shul 5:45. They prayed, they went to work. Captain America, Sunday. And what? So much so that when we came to America and we built the yeshiva, we said the boys have to learn in yeshiva on Sunday. They didn't even think. How could you tell the kids not to go to yeshiva on Sunday? Over the course of 50 years in America, comes the new Sadiqim and they say, too much. Let the kids take off on Sunday. So you take 2,000 kids from the yeshiva, you're off. That's a big one. That's not part of the galut. Nobody dared to think you don't have a kid at school on Sunday. Maybe you don't have it till 6 o'clock in the night. Okay, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, half a day, whatever. So the kids can go with their parents to the city to do whatever they want to do, to go on the Ferris wheel. But before that, you have to have a Torah. Today in the generation, for what? You see the breaking down? Slowly, it's shedding. All the traditions that we had, but it happens very slow. It doesn't happen in 1 year, 2 years. All of a sudden, in 50 years, you look back and say, wow, where are we? Which means we drift. You're drifting. It's like when you're in the water, you don't realize you're drifting. All of a sudden, you look at, where am I? You see your wife scream, hey, where'd you go? They're drifting. They're drifting me to the other side of the lake. The riptide took you, exactly. So anyway, on Sukkot, we have 4 species that we take. Lulav, Hadas, or Lulav Etrog, Hadas Araba. So the rabbis tell us that these 4 species represent 4 types of Jews. The Etrog, of course, is the Sadiq. The Etrog has a good smell, has a good look, also has a good taste if you eat it. That's a Sadiq. He has Ta'am, Vareyach, Torah, Mitzvot, Ma'asim Tovim. The Etrog actually is Domel Lev. The Lev is the heartbeat of the, is the source of life of the body. That's Tamid Hacham. He's the Domel Etrog. Those are the Sadiqim, the Etrogim. Then you have the Lulav and the Hadas. Well, Lulav is from a palm tree. It has dates. So there's a good ta'am, but mafi reyah. The Hadas has a reyah, mafi ta'am. So those are different type of Jews. One guy has mitzvot without Torah, one guy has Torah without mitzvot. Okay, but at least they have something. This guy learns Torah, but he doesn't have too much mitzvot. Other guy has a lot of mitzvot, but hasn't learned so much. But he has something. The Arava, however, lo ta'am ve'lo rayah. The Arava represents what? The assimilated Jew. No Torah, no mitzvot. If you don't have no Torah, no mitzvot, what do you have? Wi-Fi, you have. Yes, we know you have Wi-Fi. What else you have? Cable TV, we know you have. What else you have? NFL, NBA, Netflix. Allah Baruch. That's what you have. Allah Baruch. You're right. Gabe is right. That's Arabim. The Arava has nothing. What does Arava have? The Arava's got nothing. He's bankrupt. That's why, by the way, we have a custom. What's our custom? We have the month of Elul. Then we have Rosh Hashanah, Seder Teshuvah, Kippur, etc. Then we have the 7 days of Sukkot. After that, by then everybody's pure now. No more averot. Everybody's proper. The goal of the holidays is to turn yourself from arava into an etrog. But by the end of Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, hopefully you're in etrog at least. At least for that one day. Until you fall back into the year. It takes us many days in order for us to come and repent to God. What happens on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah? That's the last day of the process, right? And what do we say? This year I'm going to learn more Torah. I'm going to do more mitzvah. Everybody on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, the process is done. There's no more arava. That's what, right after the service of Rosh, what do we do with the arabot? Habit, finish. Gone. No more arabot. We kill the arabot because there's no more arabot. But what do we do with the etrog? That we keep. Hello. Go tell a regular American kid. Oh, yeah, the hello. Well, he knows Skippy peanut butter. That's what he knows. He knows Smucker's jelly. Tell him, no, the hello.
Hello, I know what hello is.
My grandmother used to have special spoons that they used to eat the hello with. The spoons. You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Turgeman? Go ask them today. What spoons? They know that the Merino's ices. The spoon. That's the spoon they know. What are the spoons they know? They know nothing. You see that the level, we're losing everything. Slowly, everything drifts away into everything. Peanut butter and jelly, that's the halu. Oh. So that's the inyan of the Arava. The Arava represents that that sad situation that we find ourselves in Galut. But that only comes as a result of many years of exile. So now we go back to the chapter that we began. Al Narot Babel is referring to Babel, America. Doesn't matter what the Galut is. Babel represents the Galut. What type of Galut is it? It's a Babel. What is it, Babel? There's Bilbul. The Jews are not in the ghetto. That's not Babel. When the Jews are in the ghetto, when the Goyim are here, it's not Babel. It's not mixed up. This is the Galut of what? Of Babel. Everybody is Mibulbalim together. It's the melting pot. Like they call in America, it's the melting pot. What happened in Narot Babel? Sham Yashavnu. Maze Yashavnu. Not we were sitting. We were settled. And when you're settled, everything's good. We're settled in Florida, we're settled in Brooklyn, we're settled in Deer, we're settled in Manhattan. We're settled, we're very good, we're set up. In America, they were set up. The guy's set up. It's business, he has his thing. Sham Yashavnu. But you know what the Pasuk says? Even though Sham Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu. We still cried. Don't think that even. Because what happens? Because Sham Yashavnu, that's assimilation. So you would say, Sham Yashavnu, why should you cry? He said, no, it's as if it's saying, Sham Yashavnu, ve'afal pichen, gam bechinu. You know why? Al aravim betocha. Because we saw all the aravot. We saw, look at the assimilation, look at the Aravim, not the Arabs, look at the Aravot, look at all these Jews that have no Torah, no mitzvot. So don't tell me, oh, we're in Galut, nothing happened. We're in a golden Galut, the golden Medina, like they call it. Al Aravim betocha. But the Goyim can't understand it. The Goyim can't understand why is the Jew crying. Ki sham she'elunu shovenu. Shiru l'Hashem. The Goyim tell us you should sing to God. What are we giving you? We're giving you freedom. We're giving you everything. The Goy doesn't understand it. Why is the Jew? Why is the Jew not happy? That's Shovenu. And we come along and say, Ech Nashir, Shir Hashem alad matnechar. How can we see? You don't understand. Ech Nashir. How do you expect us to sing a song on Admat Nechar? You don't see the collateral damage that we see. The damage that we see, you look at it as a physical. So if you're from the physical standpoint, there's no reason not to sing. But if you look at it the spiritual destruction, Ech Nashir. So Shovenu think that they're doing us a favor. Hey, we're giving you all the physical amenities. Sing. Yeah, but you took the physical you gave us with one hand and you took the spiritual with the other hand. There's a give and take. You didn't give us the physical for nothing. There was a price. All the luxury that you gave us, we had to pay you back with something. What did we pay you back with our neshama? So what? You gave us all these luxuries. I was talking about it. What now? We took our neshama back. So who got the better end of the stick? The green have our neshama in their hand. They're laughing. And then they tell us, sing. Sing a song. We sing a song. We sing a song. Ech Nashir. It's Yir Hashem, the song of God. Alad Mat Echad. So that's a big thing, even for the Jew in America to remember. So that was all until we get to Shabbat Naham. Now they tell us, Rabotai, this is the Shabbat now, but so it comes the Shabbat, and they tell you, Nahamu, Nahamu. Ah, Shabbat, Nahamu. What changed? Oh, you know what changed? Because the Haftarah says Nahamu. So therefore, everything went away. And all this crazy, Shabbos, Nahamu. Shabbos, Nahamu. They go to the mountains, they jump around. So what happened? Nahamu. Ah. Is it? Nahamu. 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 Shabbat Nahamu. Nahamu. Finished. But what about the 3 weeks? Nahamu. Finished. The Haftarah says Nahamu. So all those that we did doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, it doesn't exist. Nahamu. Finished. And everybody says, Baruch Hashem. Now listen to music. Now go to parties. And do everything. And finished. And the summer could go on, could continue as normally scheduled before these rabbis came along and they started ruining our summer vacations. Now we go back to being regular. He said, but what happened? Look at the Haftarah. The Haftarah says, Na'amu, so finished. What changed? I don't know what changed. Mishim metom utal lefanav. There's a dead body in front of the guy who just lost Bar Minan somebody. The guy's crying. Oh, bito mutal lefanav. You go to the guy, listen, I'm going to make it all better. Nahamu, nahamu. Ah, Baruch Hashem. Okay, take him away. Khalas. What are those? What do you mean, nahamu, nahamu, ami? I don't understand what this nahamu is. Nothing changed. It's the same. We're in the same mess. So you could say nahamu 1,000 times. I'm going to change the mitzvah. If you told me, no. Assimilation changed after Nahamu. All of a sudden, 10 million people divorced their goyim wives and spouses, and there was a big whatever. It's okay. Nahamu, Nahamu. But what's the Nahamu over here? So the Mefashim explain it like this. It's a little according to the Mekubalim, the way they explain it, but nonetheless. Mekubalim say that a few things. Number one, they say, this Al-Sheikh says. The Al-Sheikh says that the third Beit HaMikdash is constantly being built. It's being built by the good deeds of Klal Yisrael. There's truth to that when they told us in first grade, you do a mitzvah, you build a brick. There's truth to that. We always thought it's like a mashal, they tell the kids. But it's not. Al-Sheikh says it. That every time you do a mitzvah, or more mitzvot, so you're building the bricks. So the bricks of the Beit HaMikdash, Ha'atid, are actually built from our days. They say in the tefillah, V'tibnei Yerushalayim Yirakodesh, B'merah, You should build Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh with the Beit HaMikdash. From what? Biyamenu. Biyamenu means not in our time, but from our time. Biyamenu, with our time. I mean, the Beit HaMikdash is built Biyamenu, with our days. Person comes to Shiur over here in Shamayim, they're building bricks. Everybody's learning Torah and Yeshiva, they're learning bricks. Now, of course, the opposite is also true. Every time there's an Avera that's done, it goes down. So it's always, you know, two steps forward, one step back. It's always, it's constantly going up and down. Huh?
It's a battle.
It's a battle. So the Tzaddikim say, however, that it's a slow process. It's a slow process. The Beit HaMikdash is built over the course of many, many years through the deeds of Klal Yisrael until it gets finally done. And everybody has their chelek in the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. One of the ways that the holy books say the Beit HaMikdash will be built is if we mourn Jerusalem. Mourning Jerusalem is a big, you know, certain days when you're doing construction, certain days the building moves quicker. Oh, they built today, look at that, they built a lot today. Why today more than any other? Today the workers were aggressive. The holy books say on Tisha B'Av, when everybody's mourning the Beit HaMikdash, that's a great day of construction. A lot of stuff's happening in Shamayim. You wouldn't believe it. You think the day of Tisha B'Av, nothing's going on. On the contrary, on that day in Shamayim, a lot of stuff is happening because these guys are sitting on the floor, these guys are reading Echad, these guys are doing whatever they're doing. There's Avilut around the world. What's going on in the world today? Everybody's thinking about the Beit HaMikdash. Everybody's talking about the Beit HaMikdash. Especially in our generation today with the internet, they're putting Shurim all over the place. Everybody's mind is focused on Tisha B'Av. It's funny, even the assimilated Jews, then, in our community, they knew Tisha B'Av. Our parents and grandparents didn't know the 3 weeks. And what was Tisha B'Av then?
9 days.
No, there was one day.
It
was one day. And what was the halakha? You can't go into the ocean until Hatzot. Hatzot. After Hatzot, you're going up to your knees. That was Tisha B'Av. That was the laws, the one law. After Hatzot, you're going to the ocean up to your knees. That was all eating. Of course, they ate edges sandwich on the beach. They went to that was Shabbat, and they were complaining then. Oh, these laws, oh, these laws, these rabbis. Little did they know what's coming. If they would have known what was coming, they would have cut their laws. They said, "Okay, we accept it." But they went against the rabbis then. The rabbis, I will show you now. Who knew what Shabbat was? But at least they knew there was something. Today's a bad luck day. It was something. They knew something. They didn't get married for 3 weeks. They knew something. So all that recognition to whatever level it's on, that's a construction of the Beit HaMikdash. It says in the Gemara, Kol ha-mit-abel al Yerushalayim Zoche v'ro'e b'minyana. What is Zoche v'ro'e? You merit to see its building. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm mit-abel al Yerushalayim, I didn't see nothing. I'm here, I didn't see nothing. 50 years I'm there, I didn't see nothing. Explanation is no. Every time a person mitabesh, they're building Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala. They're building it. On the day of Tisha B'Av, that's the biggest day of the construction of the year. Why don't you see it? Because our eyes are not, pure enough to see the spiritual stuff. But if you zoche, if your eyes are zoche, meaning you have Zach, meaning pure vision, you see it, you can see it. We don't see it, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Guy tells me, there's no sun out today. Well, I don't see it, because the clouds are there. Because you don't see the sun, there means no sun. Plane flies into the clouds, the plane disappeared. It didn't disappear, you don't see it, it's in the clouds. So the Gemara is telling you clearly, Kol ha-mitabel zoche v'ro'e, if you have a zechut, you'll see, b'minyananat when Mashiach comes. Zoche, by the way, is present tense. Not Yiske. Zoche now. Look up at Shamayim. Wow, what a building they're building today. That's the level. That's the way it works. That the mitzvot that a person does actually builds Yerushalayim. Also, the Mikubalim write that all the avodah that a person does during the week, when does it get registered? On Shabbat. Shabbat is called Aliyat Olamot. That's when all the, it's like a, imagine there's a bank and you're putting deposits in the bank the whole week, but they don't send it a statement till the end of the week.
The money doesn't clear.
The money doesn't clear till the end of the week. The last day of the week, they're like, oh, now you see all the deposits you made. That's what happens on Shabbat. So Shabbat Nachamu is one of the great Shabbatot of the year, because all the deposits that we made on Shabbat Be'av, the Aliyat Olamot happens on that day. All of a sudden on the Shabbat, all of a sudden you start to see all the bricks, everything's done, all of a sudden it starts to show on the statement. So the Mefarshim say that is the Nechama, not what changed. Something changed. The Beit HaMikdash Shel Ma'ala, this Shabbat does not look like anything the way it looked last Shabbat. You're right, assimilation of, we're not there yet. It's a slow process. But they tell you, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. You did something. That avodah that you did on the Shabbat Be'av created tremendous progress in the project. The project is a long project. And people are saying to me, oh, you guys in Brooklyn, how long is it taking you to build that synagogue? I asked them back. We're trying to build the third Beit HaMikdash. It's taking them 2,000 years already. Nobody's worried about that. We're taking a couple of years extra here and there and there. They're trying to build this building for 2,000 years. Every time they start to build it, it doesn't go. So we have a couple of things like this, and a couple of inconveniences. People don't know history. Oh. So therefore, on Shabbat Nahamu, it's a tremendous Nahama. Nahamu, Nahamu. That's the concept, that it's a slow process. It's a gradual process. So therefore, when I asked the question at the beginning of the shul, nothing changed. No, something changed. Every year on Shabbat Nahamu, God deposits all the Tisha B'Avs around the world. And it's deposited on this Shabbat, and the Aliyat Olamot happens. So it's Shamayim, the Malachim say, Borei Olam, Nahamu, God says to us, Nahamu, you don't know, if you see what I see up here, you did good. You accomplished something. There was a great, like you said, progress in the construction. The last point they say is, but we don't understand. We're doing this for 1,900 years, 449. There's so many tzaddikim that have been living on those. They couldn't have done it already. I mean, with the great tzaddikim, you're talking about Tanaim, Amoraim, Geonim, Savoraim, Rishonim, Aharonim. The Rambam himself should have been able to do it. Yad Azakah, finished. That should have built the Beit HaMikdash 6 times already. So what's the delay over here? Excuse me, we still have to put more bricks? I understand one step forward, two steps, but still some tzaddikim, they can build it themselves. Just with one Mishnah, boom, Gaon de Vilna, boom, you can build it. What's the delay? So the Mefarshim say that the delay is for one good reason. It's based on the Maharsha in Masechet Megillah. The Maharsha says in Masechet Megillah the following. There's a tradition that says that when they built the Beit HaMikdash on Har HaBayit, which is a small mountain relative, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be the size of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is going to be the size of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is going to be the size of the world, which means everything's going to expand. That means when the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, it's not going to be built on Har HaBayit. That's going to be part of the territory, but it's going to be expanded. So the Maharsha wants to say, where do we know this from? So he brings an amazing proof, because the Gemara says in Megillah that when Mashiach comes, all the Batei Knesiyot are going to be uplifted to Yerushalayim. He learns that they're going to be uplifted to the Makom HaMikdash. So therefore, to fill all these synagogues, you're going to need to expand Makom Harabayit to fit all the synagogues, so it should be in that campus. So it's not that the synagogue is going to be brought to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be part of the Beit HaMikdash. It's a big thing. That's a big Maharsha on Chavtet, which means this synagogue is going to be part of the Bar Minan. Lavdir, you go to a college campus. Buildings. What is this over here? This is all the buildings of the campus. How big is the campus? 25 acres. You need a car to drive through to the campus. It's so big, the campus, they have even their own security. They have their patrols. The campus, you ever go to Monmouth University? They have their own police. Farhat Yosef doesn't have their own police. Why does Monmouth University need their own police department? Who goes to that school that they need a police department? Panovich doesn't have their own police department. Understand what I'm saying? What do they need a police department for, the Monmouth University? What are they doing over there? You're going to learn. You're going to learn. Go learn science, go home. What are they doing in between classes, I want to know? What are they doing at night? They need police to... Anyway, it's a campus. Anyway, it's a campus. Oh. We have a custom on Shabbatot. We sing Sur Mishelo before Birkat HaMazon. What do we say in the Sur Mishelo? Yibane HaMikdash. What do we say after that? No, not B'meravim. Yibane HaMikdash, Ir Siyon Temaleh. What does it mean? Yibane HaMikdash, when God builds the Beit HaMikdash, Ir Siyon Temaleh. It's going to fill the whole city of Zion. Right, Zion Temaleh. It's going to be, Jerusalem is going to be that spot. Oh, so therefore, according to that Maharsha, we understand. If we were just building the original Beit HaMikdash, okay, so then you're right. But now we're building a campus that's 10,000 times bigger than the original one. So now you know why it's taking so many years to do this project over here. A project of such immensity, you're thinking, why can't we build it already? It's just that big. Imagine we told you, no, the project of our synagogue is not that spot that we have over there. It's the whole New York. That's going to take you 2,000 years to build the whole synagogue the size of New York. So therefore, when we're putting bricks up, we're not only putting bricks, we're putting bricks up for the whole infrastructure. Last but not least, Rabotai, then I'll let you go. So it says when the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, we read it in Echa on the other night, that the gates of the temple got swallowed in the ground. Which means the third Beit HaMikdash is going to come down already built from our good deeds. All the building is going to be from our good deeds. However, Nachamim say the doors are going to come out of the ground. The doors are here already. The doors are here. So the Mefarshim say, what's this? So they say, beautiful. They say, the temple's going to come down. Although we built it with our good deeds. We built it. We built it better with our good deeds. But we want to build it also physically. We don't want to have a prefab. They tell you a prefab, hey, the house is there. Even a house, you want to build it. You want to be part of it. The guy build this here, bang this in there, do something. So when the Beit HaMikdash comes down, we're going to feel bad. We're going to say, haval, it's ready made. So God said, no. The Gemara Baba Batra says that if a person wants to make an acquisition on the house, He makes hazakah. What's one of the ways of hazakah? You put the doors on. You put the doors on, ki'ilu bina'o. So, but I don't know why I left the doors for you. The doors, tabubara shi'ariya, you're going to come put the hinges on, you put the doors, the sadiqim will have the zikhut to make the doors, and if it's like they built the, it's like the, they built it. That's why we said once in the Rasha, arumimcha Adonai, kidilitani. That's the mizmor, shir, Hanukkah tabayit. We're talking about the Hanukkah tabayit, the building of the Beit HaMikdash. So what do we say? God, I praise you. You know what? Ki dilitani, you left the dilatot for me. You left me the doors. Arumimcha Adonai, kidilitani. Vilo simachta oibayli. You didn't let the enemies destroy the doors. Tabi'u ba'aris. They destroyed everything, but the tabi'u ba'aris. Vilo simachta oibayli. You didn't let the enemies destroy the doors. Arumimcha Hashem, kidilitani. That we're able to do the doors, which is a big thing. So that's going to be the simha of the doors. So we explained it once. The Midrash writes, if you look in Parashat Vayetze, when Yaakov Abinu had the dream, anybody that was in the class last week on Shabbat, Shabbat last week in the Shi'ur, in the middle of the Shi'ur, in my light comments that I throw into the Shi'ur, but we don't take any of the comments lightly, I said, the custom of putting candles on the cake is a terrible custom. First of all, it's Chukotayim Shel Goyim. It doesn't make sense. Why would you put candles on a cake and blow them out, make a wish? It's a Goyim custom. No, who are you making a wish to? To Tom Carvel? Who are you making a wish to? Who are you making a wish to? Who's the fairy? The tooth fairy? Who is it? So anyway, in the shiur, if you remember what I said, besides the fact you're spitting on the cake, who would want to eat the cake after you spit on it? And the mother tells the kid, go wash your hands. The kid says, you just spit all over my cake. I have to go wash my hands? You're so worried about hygiene? The kid's saliva all over the cake. But go wash your hands. That's what we said in the shiur. Besides the hygienic element of it, who would eat a cake that the kid already mached out all over the cake? So, that night, one of the guys in the shiur texts me, Rabbi, I know you like to read, but I didn't know you read the New York Post, and I didn't know you read the New York Post on Shabbat. On that Shabbat in the New York Post, major article in the middle of the newspaper, studies found that the kids who blow on the birthday cake, the cake has 1,400 more times bacteria on the cake. I said, what are you talking about? He's joking. He forwards me the article. You see Saturday, New York Post. How did you know it?
They came to this in the Rabbi's
special. How did you know it? I told them, I read the Post on Shabbat. Finish. There used to be a rabbi. I'm not going to say who. There used to be a rabbi. He used to get up on Shabbat and give a speech. Oh, but the New York Times said that Shabbat.
He got the New York Times. He read the Times before he went to shul.
No, I didn't mention it on Thursday. Oh, the Post came on Thursday. Okay, maybe you're right. Anyway, Ta'aseh Sha'ar Gilgulim. You look at Saturday's Post, they talk about the birthday cake. You see, you brought it down, Rabbi. But why am I telling you that? Because in the class, when the rabbi says it, you see everybody nodding their head. Oh, the New York Post. But I said at Shabbat, you nod your head. No, but now it's New York Post. Documented. So I'll write it down also. Documented.
That's in my phone.
So we explained it like this. If you look at the dream, we said on Shabbat, the dream of Yaakov Avinu with the ladder. Remember we said in the middle of the ladder there was the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is right in the middle. So the Midrash writes, in the dream he dreamt of the Beit HaMikdash built. He dreamt of the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed, the second temple. Elliot. He dreamt in the dream of the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed. He built up the Beit HaMikdash. I'm sorry, the Beit HaMikdash being built, destroyed, and then he dreamt of the third Beit HaMikdash being built. So he dreamt. Binyan, binyano, hurbano, ubinyano. Where do they see that in the dream? You know what it says? When he had the dream, when he wakes up from the dream, what does he say? The pasuk says, Azaka Baruch. Vayirava Yomar. So he comes along and he says, In ze ki im bet Elohim, veze sha'ar ha-shamayim. Where's that pasuk? Here. Vayira vayomar. Man nora makom hazeh. They say, man nora makom hazeh. That's the Beit HaMikdash. That's binyana. Man nora makom hazeh. All of a sudden he says, Enze. Enze ze hurbana. Ki im bet Elohim. Ze binyana. That's the Bayit Shlishi. But what is he called the Bayit Shlishi? Beit Elohim. Because the Beit Elohim is going to come down from heaven. So Yaakov Abinu said, but we're not going to have a chelek. So he said, Vezesha'ah. That's the gates. He saw the gates also. He said, even though it's going to be Beit Elohim, Vezesha'ah Shamayim, the gates are going to be added to the gates of the Beit HaMikdash, which is going to come down from the Shamayim. So therefore Yaakov Abinu saw the... So that's a great Nahamu as well. Why would God have to bury the gates if he's not planning on rebuilding it again? The Goyim destroyed the whole temple. Let them destroy the gates. No, Tabi'u Ba'aretz. The fact that Tabi'u Ba'aretz already indicates to us that something's going to happen with these gates. Otherwise, the same fire that burnt the whole temple, let it burn the gates. So therefore, we remind ourselves as well, Nahamu, Nahamu, there is a consolation. Even after the destruction, when everything was destroyed, now we're looking at the destruction. And we look at when the fire marshals came after the destruction, they came on and they wrote in their report, after the destruction, everything was destroyed, but we're looking in the DNA here, we don't see the gates. The gates are not part of this rubble. So after the destruction, Borei Olam says to the Prophet, go tell them, Nahamu, Nahamu, Ammi. Go be consoled. There's still a part of the Beit HaMikdash that remains. And if there's a part that remains underneath the ground, that means from that place that Yeshua is going to be sprouted. That's all we say in the Tefillah. Etzemach David Abdecha Merat Tatzmiyach. Because stuff that's under the ground, it sprouts. Therefore, since the gates are under the ground, it's from there that we have the sprouting of Beit David. The lesson today is Abotai. Yes, Al Narot Babel, Sham Yashavnu. Of course, we've been in the Galut Babel, Sham Yashavnu. And even though we're comfortable, Gam Bachinu. Why? Al Aravim Betucha. Because none of the Lulav and the Hadas, those are the good guys, but Aravim Betucha, Talinu Kidorotenu. And our enemy said, Shiru La Hashem. And we said, Ech Nashir. How can we sing? Look at all the Aravim. Look at all the willows. Look at all the Arava. And then the answer is, what changed? What changed is, you can't see what changed. But in Shamayim, after the week of Tisha B'Av, in heaven, we've come very, very, very further in the process, which is a long process, not only to build Irtziyon, not only to build the Beit HaMikdash, but Irtziyon Temaleh. Baruch Anu Ani Amen, amen, amen.